If someone comes up to you and says, did you know such and such? Do you instantly believe them without checking out the facts? Do you want to see evidence? Or you just figure that the one who's saying these things must be speaking the truth because they couldn't possibly lie? Listen to the Holy Spirit inspired and Jesus Christ appointed John. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he says, brethren, don't be gullible. Here's his words. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, thinking is not always the easiest thing to do in the world. But you cannot live without it, either in the world or in the spirit. Some want to think in the world, but they do not want to think in the spirit. Some want to think in the spirit, but they don't want to think in the world. Others are suspicious of everyone and everything in this world, but not of anything or of anyone in the spirit. So others are suspicious of everyone and everything in the spirit, but not of anyone or anything in the world. John taught in this verse, do not be gullible when it comes to spirits, prophets, or the world. Do not believe everyone, he taught. And you know, for some people, all you have to do is be friendly, touchy-feely type of thing, tell some warm, friendly stories, and then you can almost tell them anything, even if it's contrary to what they know the Bible teaches. But here, the Bible teaches us, as well as other places, learn to use your mind. And learn to use Scripture. Use your mind and Scripture together to test whatever it is that we hear. Test them, John said, to see whether they are of God. Again, some people are overly suspicious and have no compassion for someone who's still in the learning process, and if they make a mistake, or if they don't quite do things right, they jump all over them. And others have no discernment and fear doing any kind of testing. Seems like we have two extremes. Paul also wrote very simply in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Some easy to follow words. He said, test all things. Test all things. In Revelation 2, as Lake read a few moments ago, you'll find Jesus commending the church in Ephesus, because they did what John said to do. And interestingly, John was at one time the preacher in Ephesus. And so Jesus used John to write to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, verse 2, these words. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Good job, church at Ephesus. Of course, there was another area in which they were falling down, and he pointed out to them. But on this matter of following what John had no doubt taught to them at one time, and what we now have recorded as 1 John 4:1, they did a good job. They did what it said to do. John said, do not believe every spirit because there are many false prophets in the world. There are people who will attempt to lead us astray. There are people who will lie to us. You know, sometimes we don't want to believe that. But this is why this warning is found in 1 John 4:1. It's because those people do exist. And sometimes they will even have a Christian facade. That's why he does not say, you know, beware of the secular teachers out there in the world. He says, beware of false prophets. Because these people will have what appears to be a religious, even a righteous appearance. But John said, be very careful. Now let's move into verses 2 and 3, 1 John 4. Here's the first test to distinguish the spirits. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. If you take the time to read this first letter of John carefully, you will discover that often he gave a test by which we can know something. At one time, I just went through 1 John and I noticed how many times he would say something like, by this we know. And I was shocked how often it is found in 1 John. And I thought to myself, why is he not known as the Apostle of Knowledge, as well as being known as the Apostle of Love? 40 times in this little tiny letter, he used the words know, knows, or known. 40 times he brings up the idea of knowledge. By this you can know this, and if you know this, you know that, and so on. Whereas 46 times in this same letter, he uses the word love, or some form of it. So one word, knowledge, he uses 40 times, and the other one 46 times. Yes, he's the apostle of love, but he's also the apostle of knowledge. Now here's the test. Does the person confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, or deny it? He who denies that Jesus has come in the flesh, John said, is the Antichrist. John said that it was coming. From John's vantage point, it had not yet been fully revealed, but from ours, Antichrist has been fully revealed and has been for centuries. Every church used to recognize this truth, but many are now seeking unity with Antichrist and his church. In the first century, John said, it was already in the world. And what would eventually turn into the system that would support Antichrist was already at work in the first century. A few hundred years before its full-blown manifestation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible gives further insight into the identity of the Antichrist. And remember, while that word Antichrist sounds like he would not have any, or they would not have any semblance of religion, especially of Christianity, that's not necessarily the case. Yes, they're against Christ, but that's especially so because They have the appearance of being for Him, although they teach and do things that are very much against Him. And that's the case here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. "Now, brethren," Paul wrote, "concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." So see what he does? He uses God to bring exaltation to himself, but at the same time, he is against God. Verse 5. "Do you not remember that when I was with you, I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining." I believe the Roman government at this time was restraining the full-blown manifestation of this Antichrist, that he may be revealed in his own time. "For the mystery of lawlessness," Paul said, "is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way." That is, until the restrainer is taken out of the way. "And then the lawless one will be revealed," again referring to Antichrist, "whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders." Going back to 1 John 4, verses 4 and 5, here's a second test for distinguishing the spirits. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. You are of God." You, John says, the average Christian, are of God. If you keep the commandments of God, especially the one he's focusing upon in this letter, love for the brethren, then you are of God. You, he says, have overcome the Antichrist. You overcome them or anyone else by what is written in the letter of 1 John. Therefore, read it. Eat it. And do it. You'll have no problem being led astray then. You'll always be with the Lord and you'll always be of God. He said, you overcome. Because God is greater than Satan, and God is in you. Now think about that one for a while. Satan is an awesome power, is he not? He is powerful. He's more powerful than we are. But you cannot say those things about God and Satan. God is greater than Satan. And guess which one dwells in us? John says, God dwells in us. It's not Satan. Now go back up a few verses to chapter 3, verse 24, and look what John had just written. 1 John 3:24. Excuse me. "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and He in him. If you keep His commandments, John said, God dwells in you and you dwell in Him. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Therefore, no one can overcome us. Let the truth of that verse, 1 John 3:24 and 1 John 4:4 that I'm commenting upon, let those things sink into your meditation, for it will make you courageous against any foe. Any foe. Do you fear the devil or evil? Listen, brothers and sisters. You're of God, man. You are of God, and He is in you. And He is greater than Satan and the evil that's out there. The devil is not in us. Evil is not in us. John said, God is in you. And we know that because He has given us of His Spirit. Therefore, live courageous and bold lives. On the other hand, he said, Antichrists and others like them are of the world. Although they do not appear to be so. Plant it in your mind. Carve it on your heart. False prophets that he's talking about here may be of the world, but they have a Christian appearance. That's why he calls them false prophets. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who claims to speak on behalf of God. John declared, though, that they speak like the world. Listen to them carefully. You will understand that their speaking is not in harmony with the Scriptures, but it is in harmony with the world. Although they may use the Scriptures, there's going to be a perversion in there someplace. They want to please the world before they please the Lord. Naturally, then, the world hears them. I mean, why should the world not hear them? The world likes to hear what it produces, even as a parent likes to hear his child. So the world likes to hear their children. Now in verse 6 of 1 John 4, John gives a third test to distinguish the spirits. There he wrote, referring to the apostles, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you want to know God's will, don't wait for a vision. Don't wait for a warm feeling in your chest. Don't wait for an angel to visit you. Rather, sit down and listen to the apostles. Jesus Christ and His Father handpicked whom they wanted to represent them, and then gave these men the Holy Spirit to ensure that when they taught, they would teach the absolute truth. Therefore, to hear the apostles is to hear Jesus Christ. And to reject the apostles is to reject Jesus Christ. He who knows God hears the apostles. If you know God in truth, you will recognize that the apostles spoke the will of God. He who is not of God does not hear the apostles. Therefore, if someone does not hear the apostles, you know that that person is not of God. If they do not hear the apostles, then it doesn't matter how many good things they've done. They're still not of God, according to what John's writing here. By these things, he said, we can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is a difference. And John, I think, is writing us, telling us, be sure that you're of the spirit of truth. And be sure that you test others to see whether they are of the truth or of error. Brethren, let us be friendly people. Learn the balance between being friendly and accepting and doing this testing of which John writes. Do not hold back your acceptance until you think, well, I've got to hold it back until I find out everything about this person. I know sometimes there's Christians like that. I'm not going to show you any goodness. I'm not going to show you my friendliness. I'm not going to be hospitable to you. I'm not going to accept you until I know everything that there is to know about you. Well, that's not what John's teaching here either. Think about all that he's been saying about love. But now what he's just saying is, don't be gullible, don't be naive, be loving, but be smart at the same time. Be very friendly. And you will notice that as you get to know people, you will see the spirit of truth or the spirit of error. It will manifest itself. Be alert spiritually and know God. There is nothing that God wants more than for every person on this planet, including everyone in this auditorium today, to be one of His children. And God was willing to give us an unspeakable gift to make sure that the way was possible for us to be one of His children. God was willing to let His Son, Jesus Christ, die in our place, so that we don't have to die spiritually. We don't have to experience the wrath of God because Jesus already experienced it for us. Now, He just wants us to come to His Son with the full acceptance of the truth that Jesus is the Christ. And He wants us to turn away from the way we've been living before, and to bring our lives in harmony with the life of Christ. And then He wants us to be born again. Are you ready to be born again this morning? If so, please don't delay. I mean, we're going to sing this invitation song. We've got a baptistry already behind me. Don't leave here without making the decision to renew your life by becoming a Christian. And you can start that this morning by being immersed or baptized into Christ. Please come forward right now as we stand and sing.